How is everyone? Any questions after last week? Or did anyone have any epiphanies during the week?
What is the difference between will and intention?
Good question. So he did, we actually, the trick to it is we didn't actually define intention. We explained a lot of ways to observe what it is. Yeah, and the way Tim did that was by explaining what it isn't. So he said, thinking and intention are two very internal. So trying to observe them is quite difficult because you can't see them. So you start with action and speaking. You can observe them. And you can observe them to try to understand what intention created that. Because the space between thinking, speaking, and action, there's a moment before you start thinking about it where that's where, somewhere between there, that's where the intention's born. So the intention sparks the thinking and action. Thinking, speaking, action, rather. So yeah, we didn't actually define intention. So I actually asked Sifu because, yeah, I still don't have a clear definition for it, but he said, in each moment, we have 84,000 blind intentions. So there's 84,000 of them. What are they doing? Boom, boom, boom. And yeah, they're mostly appearing like as desire for something. Desire for survive, continue to survive. For materials, for sharing. It's like many, many, many different intentions of wanting that, that creates our subconscious ability. So that energy, 84,000 intentions blindly pumping into desire, spilling to passion, spilling to, some of them spilling to action, some of them spilling to emotion and thinking, you know? It's like, so yeah, in a roundabout way, intention comes from desire. But the way Brooke said it, it just didn't have the magic, you know? I didn't feel it. It was like, desire, intention comes from desire, you know? So there's a line between where intention becomes thinking, speaking, action. And somewhere between essence and all that changing illusion, that's the interaction. Another way is to observe it from a totally different angle. What we're learning in this class is what? What are we learning? Ability is what we're developing. The ability to observe self and how we're being. So when I start observing self and I observe I'm existing and I try to understand where do I begin and the illusion being start? Where do I end and where does the illusion being start? If I'm observing self-being, that's what I'm observing. So I can observe everything I can be aware of. I say, that's not me. Sean is aware of the phone, then Sean is not the phone. If I'm aware of the water bottle, then I'm not the water bottle. If I'm aware of my lungs taking in oxygen, wherever that oxygen goes, I'm not that. If I can feel, if I drink water and I can feel it go down, I'm not wherever that water goes. I'm not whatever I can be aware of. Does that make sense? If that makes sense, high five. Okay. What can I be aware of that is me? If you go back to essence, you're in a state of empty observing. In a way, you're back to that empty zone. So you're aware from that empty zone, that might be a different state. But yes, to all the rest of it, you can't observe your, you can't be aware of something with no form, but you can observe it through behavior, through character, through speaking, thinking, and you can, through the resulting action, speaking, thinking, you can start to observe intention through that. Because when they're blindly being, whatever action comes out, you can trace back to an intention. So you can start observing intention through the outward action. So you can see someone do something stupid and you can go, oh, they weren't careful. They weren't a careful person. Or you see them very greedy, getting suffering. Because I told a pretty funny story today. I was in France at the front of a bakery looking for breakfast because you eat pastries for breakfast in France. It's the law. I didn't make it up. That's how it is. And I'm standing on the steps and I look across the road and this girl, she's like quite a big girl, like is power walking down the street. And I'm like, wow, that big girl's in a hurry. And she crosses the street and I'm like amazed at the pace she's setting. She's just charging. She comes right up the stairs and pushes me out of the way to get into the bakery. I was in her way. And I thought that was quite, it was just a funny moment. Like, I was like, wow, she's on a mission. Like, first thing in the morning, she was going for sugar. I was like, man, I'm impressed. So much energy. But yeah, so you can't observe someone from the outside and judge their inside. That's mean. You can't do that. But what you can do is you can observe and go, all right, when Sean was 19, he got a little bit overweight. You can safely say that Sean got a little bit overweight because he was probably being lazy and probably being greedy. It's okay. I'm not offended. It's all right for me to say it about myself. So the outside result comes from the seed. So the intention is the seed and it appears as the result, which is the action and activity and lifestyle. So yeah, that's one way we can observe our self-being. The other way we can observe self-being is actually observe life more deeply. So what are six things we can observe that are eternal? So we're observing life, right? We're observing self-being. All right, what's the first thing I can observe about myself? Okay, I have a form. What's that form made of? Well, one part is definitely earth. Observing self-being. I'm going to observe self. So what can I observe about myself? All right, I have this body. What's this body made of? Surely, four elements. Earth, first element I can observe. What can I observe about earth? So my whole body has all four elements in it. So now I need to understand each one more clearly so I can understand this four element body I'm living in. So earth, what is earth? How do we know earth is there? So the way you be aware of it is how hard or soft something is. More densely packed together is harder earth. More powerful rock, more pressure. More and more and more and more and more pressure becomes a diamond. Diamond, so powerful. Most condensed earth you can get. So what we find now is the actual information we're aware of when we talk about earth is whether it's hard or soft. But for it to even be soft, you know there's some earth there.
Does that relate to water? That can be hard and soft too. So how do you differentiate?
Well, this is the point of the story. You can't really separate them, you know? How do you separate earth from soft? Like, either you've got something there that's got a material or you don't. If you don't, it's empty space. So you've either got empty space or you've got earth in that space. If you don't have earth, you've got water. You don't have water, you've got fire. You don't have fire, you've got wind. If you don't have wind, you've got empty space. You've either got a combination of those four elements or empty space. That's what makes those four elements so deep, is because you can observe them and they will eternally be there, creating all the illusion being. So if you've got earth is hard and soft, what's water? How do you be aware of water? These four elements are so common. Like, we drink water like it's just this thing that I need to drink. It's actually a pain in the ass. Damn it, I've got to go fill up my water bottle. But when you stop and appreciate how amazing that water power is, that water power is everywhere. It's always everywhere. It can appear anywhere at any time if you know how to create that. Like, any empty space can have water in it if you can create that causation. Same with fire, same with earth. You think about the planet that we're on spinning through infinite space. All four elements are moving through infinite space. Even infinite space can have any of those elements in it at any time. That's how powerful empty space is. It holds all four elements. And so when we want to start talking about observing self-being, rather than observing just the illusion being, you start observing the power of empty space to hold all the illusion being. Compared to the power of empty space, a universe is like, it's nothing, because you can measure its beginning and end. You can't measure the beginning of empty space. You can't measure the end of it. So if we sit and deeply from our heart, be more aware of how mysterious the first of those four elements is, earth, the fact that hard and soft is the way we feel it. And you look at how amazing a diamond is. It's like the energy's been packed so perfectly, so tightly together, with no movement at all, so still, that it actually becomes see-through. It becomes crazy clear and shiny. That's amazing. Like, that spins me out. It becomes like crystal clear. That's how perfectly stacked together that energy is. So that energy can be perfectly stacked together and clear, or it can be clear and open and free and not and light like empty space. Like those two extremes are amazing. And then we talk about water and yeah, wet or dry, but it's always everywhere. For it to be fire to explode, right? That water and oxygen is all in the air. There's water everywhere. How come I can't just take a bag and go and make a little bag of water? We need to invent that. A bag of water grabber out of the area.
Isn't that a dehumidifier?
Yeah, yeah, dehumidifier. There you go. Yeah. We've got one in the bathroom sucking up toilet water.
This is making me thirsty.
Earth and water, the two heaviest ones. Fire. How do you be aware of fire? It is when it's warm and hot, that's when we call it fire. But even when it's cold, the potential for fire is always there. That's what I meant to say by the spectrum, cold and hot. It's not that it's necessarily about the speed of moving. That is more wind and air. But with fire, it's the cold and hot. Even when you're in the coldest place on earth, the potential for an explosion is always there. So yeah, we only call it fire when it's in warm or hot category. But actually, potential for fire element is always there. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, for life to be there, there needs to be some temperature element, and that's fire. But we don't often say it's fire because we can't see fire, but fire's there. And wind. Romany, you were saying, you were just saying it perfectly then.
Movement and stillness.
Movement and stillness, yeah. And then Romany added to it, say it again. When it's moving, we call that wind, right? But the element isn't actually wind, it's air. So air is everywhere. And we only feel that it's there when it moves, and that's what we call wind. But air element is the most important element. You can only go 2 minutes without it and you'd die. Like it's not just when there's wind, but we associate it with wind because that's the only way we can really be aware of it. And pressure, if you've ever been hit by air pressure, oh, that shit's gnarly. As if, you ever fill up your tire and go... Should you do that?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. So even though air is light, it's actually can join together to be very powerful. Because it's so light, when you press it all together, because it's light, it can all fit together so much and create so much pressure that then can expand again. So yeah, air is a pretty crazy element. It's the lightest of all of them, so it's the hardest one to be aware of. But just a few minutes without it, life doesn't exist anymore. So it's pretty crazy how important it is.
So that was four. Wasn't there six things?
Were there six? Did I say six? I don't know. We might have to replay the recording.
Six.
Oh, but we're out of time. Be back next week. Nah, there's six. Therefore, eternal things we can always observe, that are always there. And we've never observed them. We've been too busy chasing all the other stuff that we chase, like rainbows and cupcakes. And so how do you be aware of empty space? Oh, sorry, the next one's empty space. Spoiler alert. Now, how do you be aware of empty space? Wave your hand out in front like this. Did you hit anything? That's how you know if there's empty space or not. If you do that and you don't hit anything, there was empty space there. But even when there's something there, there's still empty space there. You know why? Empty space is the power to hold the whole universe. If the universe was water, empty space would be the cup that holds the water. And for that, if we're talking about a theory that there's multiple universes, then empty space is the power to hold all those unlimited universes. It is a power we do not understand, but without it, life can't exist because there's nowhere for it to be. Do you know that within your body, if you took out all the empty space that was between atoms, do you know how big you'd be? So small, so small. What we see as matter is actually lots of little empty space with buzzing, changing things, and it's just a circuit of what looks like something there, but there's empty space all throughout it. So yeah, life's quite tricky. And we live in this crazy, tricky illusion, and we have an idea of what we want, and we have an idea of what we think, or we have an intention of what we want from life and how we want to exist. So when we don't understand it, that's called an intention. But when we start to understand that crazy system of changing illusion, and we start to, through understanding how that system works, create a new intention, that is called a will. That is the difference between a will and an intention. In each moment, we take in a whole new bunch of information from illusion being. And in that moment, a whole new cause and effect for new intentions appears. How can you say where one intention starts and stops when it's come from the other one? The only way you can truly have a beginning intention is when you, boom, go empty, back to essence. Connect to that pure essence. From there, you create a new intention. You're aware life is illusion. And in your meditation, you observe, life is illusion. Anything I can get, I will lose. No, nothing is eternal in that changing. And no I is eternal. They're all temporary. When your heart connects to that level of empty, then you create a new intention. All right, I'm going to connect back to my illusion body for this purpose. I'm going back into that body with this intention. Six Bodhisattva character, four eternal heart. Otherwise, why go back? To create more blindness? If your intention is to go back for the purpose of being blind, you weren't very awakened. You didn't see through the truth of life. You didn't see that trick and how it works. So awakened consciousness would make an eternally kind, caring intention. Because there's nothing they can get for themselves, so greed makes no sense. And there's no time to get it in, so impatience makes no sense. It's pretty crazy. Deep observing. It's fun, right? Blind consciousness, search for the magic in life. Awakened consciousness are directly aware that life is already magic. And it's kind of a subtle ass-kicking, like rather than searching for excitement, if you stop and observe deeply the four elements or consciousness, like observe philosophy really deeply, it's always there when you're ready to observe it. You can observe something so cool and be so awakened at how amazing that magic life power is, or you keep searching for like another thing to make you feel excitement, I don't know, like peaches or chocolate or whatever. And I'm guilty of it, don't get me wrong, but yeah, when I sit here and explain it like this, I'm like, why don't I just do this more often? Funny. Oh yeah, Valerie, you were about to say one.
The biggest one I had was when I realized that I use emotion to control and or manipulate like a situation or like to get control or be possessive. So I use emotion.
You would, or you do, or you did, or you have, or you. Once upon a time, it was a one-off thing, just a rainy Sunday.
Still do, just more cautious as to when those emotions like pop up. I don't trust it straight away or follow it. To check in a little bit more than what I used to.
We all hate to hear this, but we all do that in one way or another. We all have needs and we want to get our needs met. And when they're not being met, we find a way to get them met. And if it's someone that's not doing what we want, we might give them a bad temper, stomp around a little bit, subconsciously like throw hot water on them accidentally or something, who knows. But you'd be amazed at how often we all do things like that. You have a feeling or you have what you want or an opinion or a preference and it's not being met. And a mood will appear, and how well you can control that mood and not let it create like ripple into more intention, thinking, speaking karma. That is a good way to observe and measure your own level of wisdom. If you're in a room and you're in a bad mood, how many people can feel your bad mood? Or how long do you let that bad mood make that power of illusion a bad illusion for? If life is always an illusion, why would you want to be stuck in a bad mood illusion? You know, like, why choose that, man? Come on, what's with that? The answer is we don't choose it. We don't have the power to choose it. We don't even have the power to control our own feeling. And we want to get angry when people don't do what we want. And they don't. We can't control them and we're angry. We can't even control ourselves. Every suffering, every mood, every situation is a completely different situation. How can you have one wisdom to cover them all? You can't. That's why we have systems on systems on systems. We have take care of the four element body, tension release, train your awareness of your body, stretch, Chen Kun, Qigong, Tai Chi. We have so many systems that are just to care for the four element body. Go have a shower, go have a bath, get someone to walk on your back, push your stomach. There's a million ways to, even just the one subject, the four element body, how to take care of that is a whole, we've got courses on courses on courses for that. So that's one, start simple. If the body has tension, it might be causing some of the suffering. Yeah, so fixing that is always a good point one. Point two, start practicing to observe what are you feeling. And then when you observe that feeling, what's caused that? Where's the cause and effect path? Because if we only wait for the problem to come and try and practice this ability, that's hard. That's really hard. It's too difficult. Do it with something small, like leave a banana in a shared household and then come back the next day and watch it not be there and be like, oh, I was ready. Or like, yeah, just start like observing how you're receiving and reacting to things with the small stuff, little things. And start practicing that, and then you can do what Brooke did, where she caught herself in searching heart and was all like, no, don't be in searching heart. And then did it change it straight away, Brooke, to be aware of that?
Yeah.
Straight away. Bang. Awakening. Yay. Cool.